in the ribs. But I know in a glance I didn't hit quite the right spot. The blade tore through his shirt and made a gash in his pale skin, deep enough to draw blood, but not enough to kill. I chased after him, heart pounding and mouth bone dry, raising my dagger for a second attack. But in an instant, two guards are on top of me. They rip off my mask and pin my arms too tightly behind my back, forcing me to drop my dagger. "Sparrow, my love," Hadrian murmurs as I struggle against his guards. I kick both of them in the shins a few times, but they don't loosen their grip. "You were supposed to die in Elsinore." He runs a finger slowly along my cheek, and I spit at him. "Now, there's no need for that," he says coolly as another guard clamps a hand over my mouth. I glare at Hadrian, hoping he can feel the hatred pouring out of me from my eyes alone. "I should have known better than to underestimate you." He leans in, brushing his nose against mine, and all I can do is gag behind the guard's calloused hand. "I really do admire your strength, my sparrow, even if it's proving to be a colossal thorn in my side." The sincerity in his voice makes me shudder. Not because he admires me in his twisted way, but because if not for Evander, there was a time when I could have liked the prince in return. I did like him, at least as a friend. But now I understand there's nothing but rot and weakness at his core. Nothing worth saving. "I had a feeling it wasn't really Vayne under there. He was usually trying to tell me what to do, not just quietly observing," Hadrian continues, still much too close to my face. "But I'll admit, you fooled me for a moment, Sparrow." Over Hadrian's shoulder, the glow of hundreds of lit torches is getting stronger by the moment, like a second sun rising. As one of the guards snaps a pair of shackles around my wrists, I catch a glimpse of the crowd, and I'm relieved to see that at least some of them have fled. But not all. Not nearly enough. I hope Merity didn't come back for me after all, but that she found my friends, and she's taking them somewhere safe. If there is any such place anymore. "Now, I'm going to have the guard remove his hand so you can tell me where Vayne is," Hadrian says smoothly. "Not if you understand." I simply glare at him. It's all I can do with my hands, and now my feet, bound in heavy iron cuffs. Still, the guard drops his hand. I utter every curse word I can think of, ones I picked up from the masters, and a few that I've only heard in the ashes. Words that feel gritty on my tongue and stick in my throat, though I choke them out anyway and hurl them at Hadrian. The prince's face isn't so handsome anymore. He's frowning, his fists clenched at his sides, like mine were when I had to listen to all the filth he spewed at the crowd. "I was wrong about you, Odessa," he says at last, the words devoid of any emotion. "You aren't my serpent after all. And although you haven't said so, I assume Vayne is dead if you're wearing his mask." He looks me straight in the face and smiles. "Perhaps we're even, as my men are putting your friends, Jax and Simeon, to death as we speak." He turns, gesturing to a guard. The older man drops a familiar sword in the grass at our feet, followed by several small daggers, perfect for tucking up a sleeve or in a boot. Jax's blades. Jax, whose lips are dry and rough like his hands. Jax, who held me through the worst days of my new life without Evander. Hadrian might as well have thrust the daggers into me, because the sight of them alone sends a wave of pain through my chest. Breathing hurts. Everything hurts. The guard tosses something else. It's tiny, difficult to see in the blurry world of light and shadow dancing before my eyes. I might actually keep that. It looks expensive. Kingly, even. Hadrian murmurs as the small, shiny object lands near the daggers. I don't need to blink away my tears to know he's got Simeon's ring. The one he still wears on a frayed cord around his neck. Just like he did on the day the nuns found him, a frightened child wandering the ashes. Simeon, the only person who can make me laugh on my worst days. Simeon, who's been my brother since the moment we met. The noise of the crowd dies away. My knees buckle. If not for the guards, I'd fall to the ground. I want to sink through layers of earth to some place where this pain can't find me. Where I can pretend everyone I love is waiting for me in the next room. Where's Valoria? I demand. Surely he wouldn't kill his own sister. She's keeping the men of the dungeon company, Hadrian drawls unconcernedly. And she'll stay there until she decides to support me. Or she'll swing from the noose. But since you're here, you might as well witness the beginning of my reign. He grabs my chin, forcing me to look toward the cage. I don't fight him. Three of the six dead in the cage are now shades, thrusting their rotting arms through the iron bars in an attempt to grasp at the distant crowd. The rest must have been eaten by the monsters. Six black shrouds and two gleaming crowns lie on the cage floor. Forgotten. Jax and Simeon are dead or dying. Valoria's in a dungeon with thieves and murderers, if she's even still alive. There's no one left for me to save. Except Merity. If she can stay out of harm's way long enough, maybe I can escape and find her. The thought is all that keeps me standing.
Now, let's see what a fine group of Cardians like yourselves can do to the monsters that are threatening to overrun your homes.
Hadrian roars at the crowd.
Burn them. Burn all the dead. And purge our beloved Cardia of the necromancer's corruption.
He turns back to the cage. I hope you're watching, Sparrow, he says softly, shifting his gaze from me to the nearby guards.
Release the shades.
The cage springs open. I can't tell the shades' shrill cries apart from the crowd's shrieks.
Run!
I scream before a guard silences me again. People scatter in all directions. The few foolish enough to hold their ground are slain where they stand. Some throw torches at the three shades, while others drop theirs, setting the palace hill ablaze.
Don't worry, Hadrian whispers in my ear, breath hot. I have a weather mage ready to douse the fire, and I have archers standing by with flaming arrows, if the monsters prove to be too much for my people. But they're stronger than they think.
He half smiles, a gesture that would be handsome if I didn't know how black his spirit was.
I had to have a backup plan, you see, in case Vayne didn't come through.
Winking, he adds,
I didn't completely underestimate you.
I have so much more I want to shout at him,
but the hand over my mouth is pressed uncomfortably tight. Hoping to startle the guard into letting go, I push my tongue against the salty skin of his palm, but he doesn't even flinch. As the people's screams get louder and tiny fires erupt all over the sloping hills leading up to the palace, Lyda and a few other living nobles join Hadrian beside the empty cage. They coolly survey the panicked fighting and the trail of carnage left by the three gray shadows as they dart among the people. Lyda puts a hand on Hadrian's arm, not quite looking at me as she asks, "What are you going to do with her, Majesty?" "Her. She doesn't even have the courage to use my name." "I'm glad you asked," Hadrian says, holding my gaze but talking to Lyda. "I want you to kill her, Baroness Crowther. She may have the strength of Vaya, but with her hands and feet bound, she's no more threat to anyone than a rabbit in a hunter's snare. Even you can't fail." Frowning slightly, he adds, "Given your history with her, I trust you'll see that it's done swiftly. She deserves a warrior's death, after all." Lyda blanches, her blue eyes glistening, but she nods to one of the guards. The clamor of terrified people fades as I'm struck in the back of the head. Chapter 29. Everything is pitch dark. I can't see. I try to reach up, to feel what's wrong with my eyes, but my hands are still shackled. I open my mouth to call for help just as Lyda speaks softly from somewhere nearby. "I can't do it." She takes a deep breath. "I can't kill you, Sparrow. Any more than I could bring myself to kill Evander when Hadrian asked it of me to prove my loyalty." It sounds like she's crying. The noise should probably fill me with dread, but I don't feel anything. Drax and Simeon are probably dead by now. Valoria's trapped. Vaya only knows where Merity is. And now the dead I worked so hard to raise, to protect, are being made into monsters and hunted down by Hadrian and his followers just to terrify the people of Carthia into choosing him as their leader. If I let myself feel any of the pain, any of the losses right now, I'm afraid it'll break me open and what sanity I have left will slip away. And if the dead don't have me to fight for them, they'll have no one. "What's happening?" I cough, swallowing to wet my parched throat. Lyda's finally stopped crying. "Why can't I see? What have you done?"
"I blinded you while you were unconscious. A few drops of potion in each eye. And now, I'm taking you to the Deadlands."
I picture her frosty blue eyes narrowing as she adds in a crisp voice, "It'll only be a matter of time before a shade finds you and does what I can't." And now I understand. Without my sight, I can't find my way out of the ever-shifting Deadlands. And with my hands bound, I can't fight any monsters that come near. Lyda's well-manicured fingernails dig into my arms as she starts to drag me. I try to kick her, relieved to find my feet are no longer shackled like my hands, but I only lash at air. Whatever gate she's pulling me toward, she's doing it alone, or someone would no doubt be holding my legs. "Why, Lyda?" I ask as she sets me down a short while later. "I know you fear the dead, but this?" There are cold cobblestones beneath my head, and the occasional scream echoes in the distance. We must be on the outskirts of Grenweir City, barely removed from the crowd and the rampaging shades. I'm amazed Hadrian hasn't had his archers kill them by now. I thought he only wanted to scare people into following him, not murder them before they have a chance to make up their minds. But then, Hadrian wouldn't be doing any of this if he truly cared about his people. Sometimes, Lyda says softly, drawing my attention back to her, we have to sacrifice those we love for a greater good. You think Hadrian is even remotely good? Maybe not. But it's time we had a living king. It can only lead to a better Carthia. Lyda's breathing hard from the effort of dragging me. After what happened to my husband, I knew living among the dead was impossible. Death is an ending, not a new beginning. That's why I begged and pleaded with you and Evander for years to stop your foolish necromancer training. But you wouldn't listen. You became part of the problem, and neither of you cared how much it hurt me. The necromancers had to be stopped. It doesn't matter that one was my son, or that one is you. It's for the greater good of Carthia. And you think all this death is going to bring peace somehow? Yes, she groans as she pulls me upward onto cool, damp earth. And I know we're inside a tunnel to the Deadlands now. With Hadrian on the throne and the dead back in the Deadlands, my daughters can live in a world where they won't have to fear monsters. I laugh, though there's no joy in the sound. You realize you're about to murder me, right? That makes you as wicked as a shade, even if you're not willing to get your hands dirty. I wish I could see her face as I taunt her. It's so much more satisfying that way. If it's a world without monsters you want, you should start by falling on your own sword. Lyda's breathing becomes more and more ragged as she pulls me by the back of my shirt down a long tunnel to the Deadlands. This is probably the hardest day's work a delicate lady like her has ever had to do. Maybe she's even breaking a sweat. She doesn't say another word. My back aches, sore and scratched, and probably bleeding from being pulled over sharp stones and twigs. Finally, she releases me, and my head falls on a soft bed of flowers. I must be in one of the Deadlands' fields or gardens. Something sharp slices across my arm above the shackles. It's a shallow cut, but it still hurts enough that I have to bite down on my lip to keep from crying out. I don't need to ask why Lyda did that. I've done it enough times myself. She wants to be sure the shades will find me. Goodbye, Sparrow, she murmurs, pressing a light kiss to my forehead. I'm sorry. I did care for you once, you know. Back when I still hoped I could change your mind. So that's it, then? I shout after Lyda's retreating footsteps. I can't believe I ever looked to her as a mother of sorts. A silver-tongued snake in a fancy dress. Simbri was my real mother. A sword-wielding, foul-mouthed, plain-trousers-wearing real mother. You're just going to leave me like this. Of course she is. She's no better than Hadrian, and just as much of a coward. The wind rustles through the Deadlands' giant blossoms like a song, lulling me to sleep. This is when I'd reach for the honey on my necromancer's belt, if I were wearing it. But my sword is gone. My friends are gone, or as good as gone. There's nothing left to tie me to the land of the living. Nothing, 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 the flowers sing. I might as well stay here and breathe in the chill, utterly scentless air until my own end. I've been fighting so much lately. All my cuts and bruises, the screams of the dying, the sights and smells of so much carnage. It's a lot for anyone to bear. I deserve a good long rest in a place where everything is beautiful. A place where the cold dulls all other senses. I close my sightless eyes and curl up on my side. After a while, I can't feel the warmth of fresh blood trickling down my arm anymore. I'm as light as a blade of grass, ready to float away. Evander drifts in and out of my thoughts. Sometimes he offers me his hand from the other side of a deep ravine, and at others, he turns his back on me, almost like he's two different people. I wonder which Evander is real, and which is the one I conjured during my potion-fueled hallucinations. A hand closes firmly over my shoulder. I guess this is the real Evander, come to take me to wherever he is now. He grips me by both shoulders, shaking me so hard my teeth bang together. Gasping, I sit up, inhaling the Deadlands' crisp air. Another pair of cold but solid hands grabs hold of mine, pulling me up to my feet. What's happening? I rasp over the sound of my beating heart. No one answers. I can't tell how many pairs of cold hands are on my back, are gripping my arms, are marching me through the field. They're spirits, I'm sure of that much. But I can't imagine where they're taking me. Maybe they want to feed me to the shades that have been terrifying them all into hiding at the farthest corners of the Deadlands. As I stumble down a hill, quickly steadied by their many hands, I say the first spirit's name that comes to mind. Furiel? Long, icy fingers trail through my hair, then touch my cheek as if to say, yes. Merity, she could be in danger. If you help me find my way out of here, I can try to save her from the terrible thing that's happening in Carthia. As I think of Merity, a knot forms in my throat. I wish I could see her again. But even if I do make my way out of here, I don't know how long I'll last in the shade-ravaged Grenweir City when I can't see a thing. The spirits steer me to the left, and my shoulders tense at the sound of running water. There's a bridge here, I realize, as the wooden planks groan under my feet. A moment later, I feel a familiar tugging around my navel, drawing me toward a nearby gate. Lyda must have forgotten why they call me the Sparrow. And so, for a moment there, did I. I don't need to rely completely on my sight when I'm in the Deadlands. The spirits support me as I stagger toward the gate, too dizzy to run. And the pull grows stronger until I know, without needing to look, that we're standing in the gate's glow. The spirits must be repaying me for all the times I've taken many of them home to their bodies, protecting me, like I've always tried to protect them. Or else, they know I don't belong here, that I belong in Carthia, with the sun and the birds and the wide, sparkling sea. With the hopes and failures and laughter of the living. I want to cry and smile at the same time. Thank you, I murmur.
I had no idea you'd come to.
My voice trails off. The touch of the cold hands vanishes as suddenly as it arrived. The spirits must be gliding away. All but one, it seems, as someone gives me a firm push toward the gate and home beyond. In the distance, the flowers of the Deadlands rustle their soft petals and sing, "Stay, stay, stay." I hesitate, one foot in the gate. If I go back to Cardia, everything around me will be out of my control. The killings, the monsters, the twisted dreams of a mad prince. Except there's one thing I can control. What I do about it. I set my other foot in the gate, humming to drown out the Deadlands song, and begin the long walk through the tunnel. Things will never be perfect, as Master Simbri tried to teach me. Life will be hard and painful as long as I cling to it. But there's beauty in it, too. It used to be easy to find, whenever I looked in Evander's eyes. And now, I've seen it in Merity's, and it's mine to fight for. I'll think of every lost life with every breath I take, always. Yet as long as I'm alive, I have to keep going. One step after another through this tunnel until I'm back in Grenwyr City to rejoin the battle, a little more broken than before. For Evander, for my friends, and the dead, and the helpless. For me. All I can do is keep fighting. I fall out of the gate feet first, toppling over onto cobblestones that are cold and slick with what I hope is rain. I push myself up using my elbows and stagger to my feet, all the while straining my ears for any sign of the crowd from the hill, or any of Grenwyr City's citizens, for that matter. The scents of death surround me, but I don't hear anything, not a whisper, or a scream. I hold my bound hands out, trying to feel the walls of any buildings before I hit them. My stomach churning over the stench I can't seem to escape no matter which way I turn. I hurry down what must be an alleyway, a place where the air is cooler and, mercifully, cleaner. Maybe this is a safe spot to catch my breath. But the moment I forget to test the ground in front of me with my toes before taking a step, I trip over the still warm body of someone large, likely a man, and crash down hard. He's not breathing. Gasping for breath, I crawl away. There's no way I'm going to find my friends or the frantic people of Grenwyr if I can't even walk a few paces without falling. Still, I made a promise to myself in the Deadlands. I have to get up. I have to keep going. A gust of warm, fishy breath stops me as I retrace my steps through the alley. I raise my hands to shield my face as a beast growls, and something furry wallops me right in the middle. It knocks me backward, but mercifully, not off my feet again. "Good boy, Lysander," Merity calls. "Odessa, where in Vaya's name have you been?" I slump against the bear's familiar bulk and laugh until my chest aches. "We've been looking for you everywhere," Merity breathes, much closer now. "Oh no, what's wrong? Daniel, get over here." A moment later, a slender hand, wearing several rings by the feel of it,
covers my sightless eyes. Daniel, preparing to heal me. Your mother did this, I murmured to Merity.
What?
There's shock and desperation in her voice. I try to soften my approach, but the words still come out in a breathless rush.
You know how she always resented Evander and me for becoming necromancers? Well, she's one of Hadrian's biggest supporters.
My voice burns with bitterness.
He ordered her to kill me, so she took my sight and left me bleeding in the Deadlands.
There's a long, heart-pounding silence. Then, I don't want to believe it, but, Merity sighs, I know you wouldn't lie. And after everything I've seen in the past few days, not much could shock me.
How'd you get out,
blind and bound like this? I smile at the memory. You're Firial. She and some other spirits helped me to a gate. Merity clasps my hands in hers.
I'm sorry, she says fiercely. I'm so, so sorry.
I squeeze her hands, wanting to repay her for all the times she's steadied me.
She's not my mother now, Merity adds, her whisper turning harsh. She's nothing to me.
Firial? She helped you?
I nod, and Merity makes a noise between a laugh and a sigh. She was always so kind. I'm glad to hear death hasn't changed her. Sudden warmth pricks my eyelids. As Daniel draws his hand back from my face, his light hazel eyes fill my view. I grin, leaning in to kiss his pale cheeks one after the other, and spot Merity beside him. Her blouse and deerskin trousers are torn in a few places, and there's blood on one of her sleeves, but it doesn't appear to be hers. Daniel's sturdy white healer's uniform is torn, too, his coal eyeliner smudged, and his scraped knee is crusted with bits of dirt and grass.
You should probably heal yourself, I whisper to him as we pull apart.
If only that would work, Daniel grins, his hands shaking slightly. Welcome back, Sparrow.
Where's...
I start to ask, but Merity interrupts.
Valoria's out of the dungeon and still in one piece, she says quickly, anticipating my question. One of Hadrian's guards tried to kill me on the way there, but after I stabbed him...
She lets the words hang in the air, grinning wearily, and perhaps a little proudly. He told me where the princess was. And that's where I found Daniel, protecting our Valoria from the unruliest prisoners.
We were in the middle of lunch when Hadrian ordered the guards to seize her, Daniel explains, his eyes glinting with a fierceness I've never seen in him. Apparently, protesting a wrongful imprisonment earns you a spot in the dungeons these days. That... Or they didn't appreciate me trying to stab them with my steak knife while they were leading Valoria away.
I gaze past Merity to the mouth of the alley, where muted, gray afternoon light covers the city, half expecting to see Valoria dashing toward us.
There are far fewer bodies on the ground than I imagined,
and the sight of the calm street gives me hope. Where's the princess now? Merity exchanges a glance with Lysander, who delicately pokes a claw into the shackles around my wrists. As they spring open, she gives a fleeting smile. Last we saw Valoria,
she says, somber once again. She was heading for the harbor. She heard a rumor that Jax and Simeon were drowned there. We were with her for a while, looking for you on the way. Daniel reaches to heal the cut on my arm, and I'm relieved it's not as deep as I thought. His light touch warms my skin as the cut pulls itself shut, leaving only a faint white scar that should fade within days. We got separated when one of the shades chased the crowd across Market Square, Daniel adds, distracted. He gazes off into the distance as he whispers, if we make it through this, if he's still alive, I'm going to ask Simeon to marry me. I give him a long look. What if Sai still wants to be a necromancer after this? Daniel smiles, grimly determined. Then I'll learn how to be the warrior he needs, so I can protect him, so I can be strong even when he's in the Deadlands. I hate to interrupt, but there are fires all over the city, Parity says urgently, kneeling beside us. One of the shades is dead, but two others are still roaming around, terrifying everyone and feeding on anyone they can grab. She laughs bitterly. I heard some of Hadrian's shouts from inside the palace. His archers aren't controlling the monsters as well as he planned. He's worried all the deaths will keep him from winning over his new subjects. Then you've got to go after Valoria. Now. Make sure she stays safe. I grip Merity's arms, grateful as always for her steadying presence. Carthia will need her when this is all over, after I kill Hadrian. Her green eyes widen. You tried that once before. It didn't work out so well, remember? She points to the shackles on the ground. I'll be more careful this time. She leans closer, her breath damp against my lips, reminding me of our earlier kiss. Not good enough. I don't think you know the meaning of that word. My heart threatens to beat out of my chest as I meet her gaze. Maybe my version of careful just looks different from everyone else's. Don't go getting yourself killed either, all right? Beside us, Daniel clears his throat, ushering us back to our senses. Remember Valoria? He murmurs softly. That princess we need to find? My face is hot as I turn to him. Daniel, will you go with Merity to the harbor? I sound stupidly breathless and hope that he doesn't notice. Daniel nods, tying his long raven hair back from his face. He leans over the dead man I tripped on when I first stumbled into the alley and rifles through his belongings. When he straightens, he's clutching a handsome dagger. This time, I want to try stabbing them with something bigger than a steak knife. I bite my lip, taking a moment to study him as I get to my feet. I never knew there was a fighter hiding beneath Daniel's pristine healer's robes and gentle smile. I clearly wasn't looking hard enough. Where'd you learn how to wield one of those? Merity asks him, fighting back a grin that surfaces despite the weary look in her eyes. They teach you how to kill people during your healer's training? It's just healing in reverse, Daniel says quickly. It's the kind of joke Simeon would make. And perhaps he realizes it, because as soon as he utters the words, his face falls. Actually, he murmurs to his boots. I didn't know I could handle any kind of weapon until today.
I always thought I'd be the one in need of rescuing in a fight. But he shrugs. When someone I knew was in danger, instinct took over. And it turns out, my instincts are almost as good at hurting people as they are curing them. I wrap my arms around him, stealing his breath. You're stronger than you think, Daniel. I'll come find you and Merity after.
Hadrian, Merity finishes. He's locked himself in the throne room with some of his guards, last we heard. He didn't want to take any chances until the shades were all gone. She rolls her eyes, then grows solemn again. I'm sending Lysander with you, so you won't have to fight him alone.
Are you sure that's a good idea?
I take both her hands, remembering what happened after she possessed Lysander during our fight against the Shadebaiters. She squeezes my fingers. Good idea or not, you can't talk me out of it. I can split my attention between my body and Lysander's, Merity says confidently. Her voice wavers slightly as she adds, at least, I think I can. I've only tried it once before, and that was over a year ago. There's no way I'm letting her experiment at a time like this. Merity, if it's too much, I'll pop out of Lysander's mind like that. She snaps her fingers and raises her head, looking determined. Her eyes linger on my face. Do you trust me? Of course, I sigh. She's too stubborn, too much like me once she's made up her mind. Just be careful. I need you. Cringing at how that sounded, I hurry to add, I need you to have your wits about you for whatever happens next. Mustering a grin, Merity nudges my shoulder with hers. Surely you forget who you're dealing with, Master Necromancer. I'm the youngest Beastmaster in almost a century. I could never forget anything about you, Master Crowther. I grin back. Even if I wanted to. I drop her hands and stride out of the alley, looking for anything I can use as a weapon. I feel exposed without my sword and can't rely on Lysander alone, especially if we get separated. I break into a run, Lysander easily keeping pace with me. Merity and Daniel are already out of sight, no doubt on their way toward the harbor. You're better than a sword anyway, I tell the grizzly. Just look for something sharp I can grab as backup, all right? He snarls, his eyes glowing a familiar shade of green. That's the spirit, I mutter, patting his massive, shaggy head. Now let's go overthrow the king. But instead, Lysander stops in his tracks. He growls again, deeper. The bone-chilling sound I've come to think of as a warning signal. I follow his glowing eyes up the narrow road leading out of the city and spot what's filled him with such rage. A shade stumbles toward us, scenting the air, a victim half dangling out of its cavernous mouth. Chapter 30. The shade snarls at us as it chokes down the last of its meal. Boots and all. There's no way to tell if it was once King Wilding, but in my mind it was, which makes it more difficult to pick up a jagged piece of wood from the road and take a swing at its skeletal face. It's a new shade, so it's clumsier than the one that killed Evander, but it's already grown strong feeding on Grenweir's citizens today. It effortlessly dodges my attack, lashing out with a rotting gray arm and grabbing the other end of the wooden beam. I grip my end of the beam with both hands. But playing tug-of-war with the shade is like playing against several grown men. Gritting my teeth, I struggle to hang on, my fingernails tearing, until Lysander breaks the shade's hold with a swipe of his deadly claws. "Thanks," I murmur, reminding myself that it's really Merity in there. As Lysander roars in the shade's face, I look around at the empty buildings of Merchant Square, hoping to spot a flicker of flame I can drive the monster toward. But everything is soaked, thanks to Hadrian's weather mage. I take another hasty look around as the shade tosses Lysander across the road. The bear groans but staggers upright almost at once. There's a fountain at the center of this square. The pretty teal and gold mosaic tiles around it glisten with overflowing water. Since shades rely on scent to hunt, it shouldn't be able to find us if we're submerged. It'll smell something else in the air and move on. "Into the fountain!" I shout at Lysander. The bear turns, bounding toward the fountain with the shade on his heels. Bracing myself for the cold, I climb over the edge and take a huge breath before dunking my head underwater. This would never work in the Deadlands, where the water would strip my memories away before I could say, "Carthia." But maybe here, in the land of the living, my quick thinking could save us. The cold stings at first, forcing itself up my nose and under my eyelids. Lysander crashes into the water as the breath I've been holding starts to burn. Howling, the shade plunges its bony arm into the fountain, and I squirm to keep it from grabbing my leg. Too late. I realize that the fountain, deep as it is, may not entirely cover Lysander. The bear does his best to flatten himself against the bottom as the shade hisses and spits, trying to catch a piece of our flesh. Any moment now, I'm going to have to come up for air. Then, we'll really be in trouble. Forcing my eyes to stay open in the clear water, I nearly touch noses with Lysander. Lysander's glowing green eyes hold mine. We don't have time to waste on this shade, not with each second meaning Merity might lose control of her senses. My head is spinning. My body's getting lighter. My lungs are on fire. Blinking an apology at Lysander, I push myself off the fountain floor and emerge into the brisk afternoon air, gasping and shaking. The shade is nowhere to be seen. "Pallas," I say to Lysander through chattering teeth. "And, Merity, if you can hear me, get out of Lysander's head. I can manage him on my own from here." The bear lumbers out of the fountain after me, growling, his eyes flashing an unearthly green. He slides on the tiles as he shakes himself off, soaking me with a fresh wave of icy water. Then he darts out of Merchant Square, leading the uphill climb to the palace, his glowing green eyes assuring me it's really Merity still in control. I run after him, my clothes clinging to me like a second skin. I pause only once, not for breath, but to search the pockets of a fallen guard I dimly recognize from the palace. Unexpected tears prick my eyes as I slide a dagger from her belt. I wish she had a sword, the weapon I've trained with for years. But this will have to do. I squeeze her hand, shuddering as my gaze settles on the spot where shade took a bite out of her. Lysander growls from somewhere up ahead, and I take off running, dagger in hand. The back entrance to the palace is surprisingly empty. I expected guards with flaming arrows stationed in every nook, at every door and window. Yet there's no one near parading past the sad iron cage. There's no one standing with a weapon at the ready, taking aim at a soaking wet girl and her bear who look like the sea just spit them out. Maybe everyone is hiding until this storm blows over, I decide as we navigate the vacant corridors leading to the throne room. If I were one of the dead, I surely wouldn't want to be seen by anyone living right now. Not knowing how they'd taken Hadrian's little demonstration. Knowing the king I'd followed all my life was gone. I rub my chilled arms as Lysander rounds a bend, taking us down another deserted hallway, where we have to step over potted trees and flowering shrubs that have fallen across our path. The silence is somehow more unsettling than the screams and clashes of battle. As we near the throne room, someone coughs. The sound startles me into alertness, and I hold my dagger at the ready. Peering around a corner, I count 10 guards stationed outside the throne room's only entrance and exit. Of course Hadrian's in there, the arrogant boy who thinks himself a king. But king is more than just a title. And while he can call himself whatever he pleases, he'll never rule the hearts or minds of Carthia. "Now, Lysander," I whisper as one of the guards bends over to inspect a cut on his leg. Glowing eyes narrowed, the bear charges around the corner, sending the newly hired guards into a frenzy. I don't know what promises they made to Hadrian, but while they draw their swords and bows, not one of them looks prepared to fight a grizzly. I dart through the chaos toward the throne room. Lysander's bulk knocks me sideways, into a soldier who swings his sword at me. I drop to the ground, slashing the backs of his knees with my dagger, and crawl as fast as I can toward the throne room doors. Something pierces my leg. The soldier I cut looms over me, his face white and livid, the tip of his blade stuck in my calf.
"Where do you think you're going?"
he sneers. I try to jerk away, but the blade pins me in place. The slightest movement sends fresh waves of pain through my leg. The soldier shakes his head, pulling the sword from my leg and raising it like he's about to end my life, right here on this worn old floor. But before he has a chance, Lysander knocks him back into a bloody pile of his fellow guards. The bear roars, rising up on his hind legs in a sort of victory dance. "Doing okay in there, Verity?" I whisper. Lysander's eyes flicker as he settles back down, shifting from green to brown, then back to glowing green. I shiver. Could Verity be losing control? Or worse, what if she's hurt? Hopefully, she's keeping her promise and leaving Lysander's mind to focus on whatever she and Daniel are facing now. As Lysander saunters toward the throne room, I hiss, "Merity, if you're still in there, go! Take care of yourself! That's an order!" Then I charge after the bear. "What's the news from the city?" Hadrian's question dies on his tongue as he catches sight of Lysander and me. "Sparrow." He blinks at me from atop the throne, perhaps wondering if he's seeing a spirit walking among the living. 4 more guards charge toward us, but Lysander quickly sets to work disarming them. I raise my dagger, noting the absence of the usual longsword at Hadrian's side. His blade rests in its scabbard on a table well out of reach of the throne, almost like it's on display. Or at least like he doesn't feel he needs it here. King Wilding's jeweled crown looks especially fine on the handsome prince, making his shadow on the floor taller, more imposing. But I'm not afraid. Hadrian frowns at the water I'm dripping on the room's glossy floor.
Did Lyda try to drown you?
He asks quietly, not bothering to rise as I climb the steps to where he sits.
She couldn't even handle this one simple task.
You were as good as dead when I handed you over. He shakes his head, disgust evident in his tone. I clutch the dagger so hard my knuckles ache in protest. I'm almost to the throne. Almost close enough to knock the crown right off his overinflated head. But as I gaze from my blade, still slick with the guard's blood, to Hadrian's neck, my stomach churns. There's been so much death today already. More than anyone should have to witness in a country that's not at war. But then, I guess that's what this is. Hadrian rises from the throne, gazing past me at Lysander and the guards. Remembering the way Lysander's eyes had returned to their usual amber brown, I wish I could see what's happening. But I won't turn my back on Hadrian for an instant. Take off the crown, I say firmly as his eyes return to mine. Finally, we're face to face. Standing on the narrow platform that holds the throne. If you come with me peacefully, I'll tell Valoria not to have you hanged. We can get you your own dungeon cell where you'll never have to gaze upon any of the dead again. Hadrian lunges for my dagger. I drop the blade and grab his wrist with both hands, twisting it as hard as I can. The resulting crack raises goose flesh on my arms. He screams several names at me as we both scramble to retrieve my fallen dagger. I reach it first, my fingers closing around the hilt and the fingers of his good hand closing over mine. He spits a curse, releasing his grip as though my skin burned him. Lysander growls low and long like thunder, drawing my gaze for the briefest moment. Like a sheepdog, he's herded all the guards into a far corner of the room, unimpressed by their blades and their taunts. Sensing my distraction, Hadrian wraps his good hand around my neck, snarling as I struggle to pry him off. It doesn't... I splutter as his fingers squeeze the breath out of me. I strike with the dagger one-handed, still trying to pry him off with the other, but my aim is terrible as stars dance before my eyes. The dagger sinks into his shoulder, which only makes him choke me harder. It doesn't have to be like this, I gasp. No one has to die. Hadrian shakes his head, smiling almost sadly, as he tightens his grip, crushing my throat. I dig my jagged fingernails into his hand to no effect. Only one of us will walk out of this room alive, Sparrow. So think of what's best for Carthia. Think of what our people need. You or me? Gazing calmly into my eyes, despite the blood oozing from his shoulder, he adds, I trust you'll choose what's right. Finally, I manage to shove the dagger just beneath his ribs, despite my lungs screaming for breath. Fine, I growl, plunging the blade deep into him before he has time to react, finishing what I started back on the hillside. Me. My heart thuds in my ears, and time seems to slow. Hadrian suspended on the end of my blade. Every monster can be beaten. Of course, he hardly looks monstrous now. He looks like a pale, scared boy who has no idea how many lives he's ruined. He collapses at the base of the throne, gasping for breath, trying vainly to stop the life from leaking out of him. Swallowing hard, as I'm reminded of Evander's final moments, I kneel beside him. If you'd been the least